Okay, we're going to talk about Arba Kaisais. There's a very well-known piece in the Sefer of the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav on Arba Kaisais, it's a very classic shtickle in Lumnus. People use it as like a, you know, if there's one shtickle Lumnus that everybody knows, it's the Brisker Rav on Arba Kaisais. But I heard once a shir from Rav Herschel Schachter Shlita, in which he mentioned that, I heard him a few times, because I used to go to Tannersville in the summer, so I heard a number of shiurim from him, and he mentioned once in one of these shiurim that there's a backstory to this piece. It's not written as a tshuva, and it doesn't address, the way that it's written in the Sefer of the Brisker Rav, it doesn't address a halacha l'mais ha-shayla, but the discussion that it has over there was actually a discussion between the Brisker Rav, Rav Velvel, and his brother, his older brother, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the two sons of Rav Chaim, to address a real-life shaila that arose. And I'm going to first briefly describe the shaila, and then we'll get back to it at the end in some more detail. He says, and I remembered hearing it once in a shir that I heard from him, and then I looked up yesterday in his Sefer, Rachel Shachter's Sefer, Nefesh HaRav, to get the details, and over there he says that it was one time that the Brisker Rav needed to leave Brisk and go to Chaslovich. Chaslovich is where his brother, Rav Moshe, was the Rav. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was the Marad Asra in Chaslovich, and Rav Velvel was by his older brother. And it happened one year that there was a real shortage of resources, of wine and other things. Now, it doesn't say over there why. The years do work out. It might very well have been when World War I broke out. 1914 was during the time that his brother was the Rav Chaslovich. So maybe that's what it was. Maybe it wasn't. But there was a scarcity of wine. And it was that scarcity of wine that caused them to be ma'ayin in the following discussion. And then after we say over the whole shtickle, as it appears in the Brisker Rav Sefer, we'll come back to this shaila that, what Rabbi Shechter, was quoting from his Rebbe, Rabbi Yashaber, who heard this, I guess, from his father and or from his uncle. And we'll go back and plug in those details. But the shtickle starts like this, that there's a taisis at the beginning of Parak Avi Pesachim. The Taisvis over there, he's going on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, The first halach in the Mishnah is not to eat at the end of the day in our Pesach. That's actually what we were talking about last week. The second halach in the Mishnah is the mitzvah of Haseva. They have to recline. And then the Mishnah ends with the third halacha, that everybody needs four cups of wine. The way that the Mishnah expresses this halacha, that everyone needs four cups of wine on Leil Pesach, is that the Gabbai Tzedaka has to make sure not to give you less than four cups of wine. So Tosfos says that there's an interesting diuk from this lashon. The Mishnah is coming to teach us the halacha of Arba Kaisis. It's phrased from the perspective of the Gabbai Tzedaka. And it's saying that the Gabbai Tzedaka, to each petitioner, should give him no less than four cups of wine. Now, the petitioner that comes usually is coming on behalf of his family. If somebody has a wife and three children, they don't all go to the tzedakah office. The breadwinner goes to the tzedakah office to collect whatever he's going to collect and bring it home for his family. So certainly when he comes to the Gabbai Tzedakah, so the Gabbai Tzedakah will give him the onions and the potatoes and the apples that he needs for himself, for his wife, and for his family. So presumably, the wine also that the Gabbai Tzedakah will give him should be the wine that he needs for himself, for his wife, and for his children. And it says, Arba Kaisais. Mitoicha Loshen Mashmaktas, Taisis says. It's a small diuk, but it's Mashmaktas. There's a little bit of an implication that every family only needs four cups. That you don't need to have four cups for yourself and four cups for your wife and four cups for your son and four cups for your daughter. It's enough to have four cups for the Baal HaBayis and everybody else is yaitzi with that. That's, he says, Mitoicha Loshen Mashmaktas. Taisa concedes that it's not really a strong raya. you know, it could be the Mishnah is just isn't getting into those details. And if somebody comes to the Gavi Tzedakah and he's just a single person, so he gets Arba Kaisis, and maybe Anachanami, if he was coming on behalf of a whole family, he would get more. But Mitorcha Loshon Mashma Ktas, there's somewhat of an implication over here that the Mitzvah of Arba Kaisis is not incumbent on every member of the household. It's just a need to have one for the whole household. Tosis says, on the other hand, there's a different Gemara in the Perek that is Mashma. To the contrary, there's a Gemara on Daf Kuf Ches where it says there's a machlekes tanoim about whether children need to have arba koseis. Tanakama says even children need to have arba koseis. Excuse me. Rabbi Yehuda says no, children don't need arba koseis. And there's a machlekes rishonim which children it means. Right, it means ketanim. But is it a katan shelo higi lechenoch? That's what the Rashbam says. Or is it a katan shehigi lechenoch? That's what Tosis says. But be that as it may, Tosis says, these children, they're living alone. I mean, usually children, I mean, almost by definition, children are b'nei bayis. They're not the bala bayis. It's a very, very unusual circumstance for a child to be his own bala bayis and making his own seder. So when if the Tanoim were arguing about whether children need, like whether ketanim need arba koseis, so that certainly implies that the b'nei bayis need arba koseis. But if he's only 10, then there's a machlaikis. What if he's 15? If he's 15, there wouldn't be a machlaikis, even though he's still not the balabayis, because we're talking about children. So from that Gemara, Tosis says it's strongly mashma that all the people in the household do need their own arba koseis. Tosis says that raya is also not such a raya. He says, yish lidchais. We're not going to speak out now how he says to be deicha. Tosis says, you go through the perek. There's some Gemaras Mashba this way, some Gemaras Mashba that way. All of the Gemaras that I'm going to bring as a Raya, I could get out of the Raya. There is, and ultimately, Tosis says, I have this suffix of whether all the B'nai Bayis need their own Arba Kaisis or not. And from the Mishnayis, from the Gemaras, there's no real compelling proof. But, Tosis says, Mitecha Svara Nira. He says, oh, after all else fails, you got to think. Right? First, you have to, you know, you try to find a Raya. He has some rayas, none of them are really so convincing, but then he says, but mitecha svara nira, there's a svara over here. Mitecha svara nira, demaishna mikiddush b'chol yomais hashana. Why should it be any different? It's the only night of the year that we have a kais with a bracha. Every Friday night, you make kiddush on a kais. You don't have everybody around the table having their own kais. Every month of Shabbos, make havdalah la kais. You don't have everybody in the shul, everybody around the table holding their own kais. So just like Kol Yomai Sashana, it's enough for the Baal Bayis to have a kais, and that's mitzi everybody. So too on Lil Pesach by the Arba Kaisais, it's enough for the Baal Bayis to have a kais, and that's enough for everybody. Like Tosis said, it's mashmak sas from the Lashon of the Mishnah, that lo yivchasu lo yimei arba kaisa shal yayin, that it's really all enough to have four cups for the whole family. That Tosis says is the mashmos. Tosis says he's not really sure because the rayas are all a little bit unconvincing, but mitecha svara nira, that's what he thinks is more likely the correct psak. Now, the Brisker Rav brings down that his father of Chaim is Tekash on Tosis. Mitecha svara nira, that you shouldn't need for each of the nevayas because maishna mikiddush b'chol yomais hashana, why should it be different than kiddush all year long? Chaim said, I would think it's very different than Kiddush all year long. Kiddush all year long, the mitzvah is to say Kiddush. Zachar Seyem Shabbos L'Kadshay. Why is there a cup of wine? Because it adds chashivas to the Kiddush to say it on a cup of wine. There's this idea that when you have a declaration to make, saying it accompanied by wine gives chashivas. It comes from the Torah, but it's really a cultural thing that, you know, it exists across all cultures. When you want to propose a toast and wish somebody well, you know, a happy graduation and a farewell and a good luck, if you do it holding a cup of wine, it adds chashivas to it. That's the idea of a toast. So it comes from the Torah. The Torah says, Zachar Seyem Shabbos L'Kadshay, and Chazal say, Zachrei V'Layayin. So the idea of Kiddush, Kol Yomei Sashana, the primary mitzvah is the bracha, is the amira, is the Mekadesh HaShabbos. And secondary to that, there's a cup of wine. And what's the wine there for? It's just to give chashivas to the Amira. By Arba Kaisais, What's the first thing we know about Arba Kaisais? Can I get Arba L'Shoni Shel Geula, Tiknu Arba Kaisais? It says, V'Yitzeis V'Yitzal T'Vi Ga'al T'Vi L'Kach, this is what Rashi brings down at the beginning of Arba Pesachim, the Medrash, that because it says, V'Yitzeis V'Yitzal T'Vi Ga'al T'Vi L'Kach, so there are four cups of wine. Which, what does that mean? It means that the Geula deserves the wine, and this is a quadruple Geula, there's a fourfold Geula, so we have four cups of wine. But the idea seems to be, the underlying idea seems to be that a geula gets a cup of wine, which you have to put into like plain terms, it sounds like wine that's to celebrate. Meaning, to celebrate the geula, you have wine, which would presumably mean that the idea of the cup of wine is to drink it. That's the lashon of Chazal is the derecheirus, that we drink wine on Leil Pesach, so much wine, four cups, derecheirus, right? We became free, and so we demonstrate that by showing that we're aristocratic, we're upper class, so we have a lot of wine, right? That's seems to go along this. It's the same flavor as the Kedeged Arba L'Sheni Shel Geula Tiknu Arba Kaisais. This all makes it sound like it's a mitzvah of shtia, of drinking wine. There's a mitzvah to drink four cups of wine. If there's a mitzvah to drink four cups of wine, so I would think that everyone has to drink it for himself. By matzah, there's a mitzvah to eat a kezayis matzah. So everyone has to eat the kezayis matzah. It doesn't help that the Baal HaBayis eats the kezayis matzah. So Arba Kaisais also, if it's a similar idea to matzah, if it's a mitzvah shtia, everyone should drink the four cups. By Kiddush, it's not a mitzvah shtia. By Kiddush, it's a mitzvah Kiddush. But the Kiddush is said alayayin. So there, everybody else is yaitzeh with Shemei Kohen listening to the Baal HaBayis, and his Kiddush is alayayin. So everybody's yaitzeh with the Kiddush that has this added chashivas of being alayayin. So what's the comparison between Kiddush of Kol Yomei Sashana and the Arba Kaisais of Pesach night?
You don't have wine, you can make Kiddush on challah, right?
Right, right. That's true. And on Leil Pesach, certainly that doesn't help for the Arba Kaisais.
The Bnei Bayis can drink from the Baal HaBayis Kais to be yaitzeh.
Except that you need a Reif HaKais. You can't have two Reif HaKaises in the same Kais.
You can't have two Reif.
Okay, that's a good shayla. So that gets into how we do. We'll come to that Blina there a little bit later on in the shiur.
What did he say?
We'll get to it.
So the Rizki Rav says that my father of Chaim said that from this Taisus, Taisus said what he said. Taisus said that you shouldn't need everybody to drink to have their own arba kaisis. You could be eaten with the Baal HaBayis because it should be just like Kiddush calling my Sashana. So what it seems to what Taisus seems to be saying is that what I just told you, which seems to be the natural muskol rishon, right? The first reaction that one would have when thinking about the mitzvah of Arba Kaisais, Taisus doesn't hold that way. Taisus holds that the Arba Kaisais are not a mitzvah shtia at all. The Arba Kaisais are exactly the same geder as Kiddush of Kol Yomei Sashana. The first kais is easy to see. We say it on Kiddush. All four kaises, if you think about it, are really playing the role of a kais shel bracha. The first kais is for Kiddush. The second kais is for Magid. Right? So meaning we do Magid al ha-kais, like we say Kiddush al ha-kais. We do Magid al ha-kais. The third kais is we do Birkas ha-mazin al ha-kais. And the fourth kais is we say Halel al ha-kais. And all four of them, it's just to give chashivas to the Amira. It's that Kiddush and Magid and Birkas ha-mazin and Halel should all be said al ha-kais. And it's not a mitzvah shtiyah at all. It's a mitzvah. True, Chazal call it derecheirus. So this is interesting. Chazal call it derecheirus, but according to Taisa, it's not really a mitzvah shtiyah. It's really just a mitzvah of amira al hakais. So what's the derecheirus exactly? The derecheirus is that having wine on the table, bringing out wine to hold, to use with your bracha, that's the derecheirus. I once heard from my Rabbi Rav Kalman, he gave an interesting mashal for that when somebody sets a nice table, right? If you're making a simcha, so you set a table, you put fancy china on the table and nice napkins, all that is part of the derech eretz. You're not going to eat the plates, you're not going to eat the napkins, right? And the food also. You want the ikur is not that the food is delicious. The ikur is that it's beautiful when you're making a simcha. It should be delicious also. But you have round cakes that are pretty, that are that have the chasen kala's name on it. It's all in the presentation. There's a lot of derech eretz. There's a lot of you know, conveying the elegance that's in the presentation. So Tosfos holds that the derech cheres of yayin is that I have wine on the table, that I have wine to hold, that I hold a cup of wine for Kiddush, and for Maggid, and for Birkas HaMazon, and for Hallel. Each time I hold a cup of wine, that shows derech cheres. Drinking it, the reason why you drink it is just the same as the reason why you drink Kiddush every Friday night, and that is because once you use it for a mitzvah, so it wouldn't be derech cheres to just spill it out. So hamavarech tzarech shiyah time. There's a halacha that hamavarech tzarech shiyah time. But it's no more than that. It's not a real mitzvah shtia. It's really a mitzvah amira. And the shtiyah is just because I'm a varech tzarech shiyah time. That's what I see from this taisis. A whole new perspective on arba kaisis. And there's a taisis later in the parak that it's interesting. There's two gemaras. You know, the Perek Arvei Pesachim is the Perek that's, for the most part, devoted to the laws of Pesach night, the laws of the Seder. But the first five, six, maybe seven dafim in the Perek are really on the sugi of Kiddush and Avdalah. And then only starting from Kuf Ches does it really get into the halachas of the Leil HaSeder. Now, there's a Gemara on Kuf Zayin, which is talking about Avdalah. And then there's a Gemara on Kuf Ches, which is talking about Arba Koseis. And Tosfos is a little bit alarmed at a discrepancy between the two Gemaras. There's a Gemara in Kuf Zayin where it's talking about Havdalah, and it says that how much do you have to drink from the cup of Havdalah? It says Malay Lugmav. You have to drink a cheekful. Then there's a Gemara in Kuf Ches where it's talking about the Arba Kaisais, and it says in that Gemara that if you share your Arba Kaisais with your family, which is what you were talking about before, Hishke mehan lebanu levnei vesa yatsa, you could be yais, even if you shared some with your family. But then the Gemara says, v'hu deshasi ruba dekasa, but provided that you drank a roif hakais. So that sounds like you need to drink a roif hakais. So the shear of how much to drink is a roif hakais. The first Gemara said the shear of how much to drink is a malay lugmav. The second Gemara says that the shear of how much to drink is a roif hakais. So Tosfos, in both, the one is on Kuf Zayin Amanaf, one is on Kuf Ches Amabeis, and in both places, Tosfos directs you to the other Gemara and says that you need these two Gemaras to shed light on one another because you don't want it to be a stira. The Gemara is giving two different shirim. So Tosfos says that what I see is that Malay Lugmav means Reif HaKais. Reif HaKais means Malay Lugmav. How could that be? Because Reif HaKais, Tosfos learns, doesn't mean the size of the Kais that you were drinking, the Zashah that you were raising before. This, when we say Reif HaKais, does it mean, right, this cup looks like it's probably about 9 or 10 ounces. So does Reif HaKais mean I'm going to drink 6 ounces? Or does Reif HaKais mean the roiv of the shear that the Kais had to be? The Kais only has to be a revius. So Tosfos says that Reif HaKais really means a roiv revius. And a roiv revius is equivalent to a Malay Lugmav. Not for everybody, because cheekful is a very subjective shear. And Tosfos says the Gemara in Yuma, Oig Melech HaPashon, has a very different Malay Lugmav than regular people. But regular people, their Malay Lugmav of an Adam Beinoni is the same as a roiv revius. And Tosfos says this to put the two Gemaras together. Because one Gemara says Reif HaKais, one Gemara says Malay Lugmav. It must be that Malay Lugmav is equivalent to Reif HaKais, and Reif HaKais is equivalent to Malay Lugmav, and that forces us to say these Chidushim, that Reif HaKais doesn't really mean the whole Kais, it means of the minimum shear, which is the Revius, and Malay Lugmav means for an Adam Beinoni, and an Echanami for somebody else, it might be different. Now, all of this was because Tosfos wanted to equate these two Gemaras, right? So, because they're each giving a shear of how much to drink, and we don't want them to be a stira. The Ran responds to Tosfos and says, stira? What kind of stira? The two Gemaras are on two different topics. On Daf Kuf Zayin, it was talking about Havdalah. On Daf Kuf Ches, it's talking about Arba Kaisais. So what's the stira? Maybe they're two totally different shiurim, but for Havdalah, the shiur is a Malay Lugmav, and for Arba Kaisais, the shiur is Reif HaKais. And the Ran doesn't elaborate, but if you think about it, that's all very plausible based on the chiluk we were suggesting before, that by Havdalah, like Kiddush, the Iker is the Amira. The only reason you're drinking is just because Hamavarech Tzarech Shigitim. It wouldn't be Derech Eretz stick to spill out a cup of wine after we use it for a mitzvah, so you have to taste. How much is called tasting? Well, like Lugmav, that's called tasting. But by Arba Kaisais, where the mitzvah is Shtia, so if Chazal said, I want you to drink 4 cups of wine, you have to really drink the cup. Yeah, so that might mean, you might think that means the whole entire cup, but there's a rule in the Torah, Rubei Kekulai. So Reif of the cup is like the entire cup. So when it comes to Arba Kais, it's the shear of Reif HaKais, because it's a mitzvah shtia, you got to drink the cup. by Havdalah, the Shir is a Malay Lugma because it's just a Te'imah, because I'm a Barak Tzar Shiyitim. So the Ran says there's no steer between the two Gemaras. But Tosfos was bothered by that stira, because Tosfos went about insisting that the two Shirim are really identical, because otherwise there'd be a stira. So what you see is that Tosfos held that Havdalah and Arba Kaisis are identical. That there's really no difference between what's going on by Arba Kaisis and what's going on by Havdalah, or for that matter, Kiddush, of Kol Yemei Sashana. It's just a Kaisis Shel Bracha. On Leil Pesach, there are four Kaisis Shel Brachas, but it's not a mitzvah shtia. So this Tosfos, these Tosfos on Kaf Zayin Kaf Ches are l'shitasam from what they had said on at the beginning of the parak, Taf Tzadi Tes, that again and again, what you see in Tosfos is that the mitzvah of Arba Kaisis is not a mitzvah shtias Arba Kaisis, it's really a mitzvah of Kaisis Shel Bracha, of just saying your brachos, the Kiddush, the Haggadah, the Berakas Hamazon, and the Halal, ala Kais.
By a wedding, the chasen has to drink Rav Kais as well?
No.
Why
That's not a mitzvah shtia, that's just ala Kais, right? That's just a bracha ala Kais. So I'm a Berak Tzarek Sheyitim, but there's no Berak Kais. Okay, now there's a Gemara in Daf Kuf Ches. The Gemara in Kuf Ches talks about two, it goes through a few cases, again, Kuf Ches, Amid Beis, that's the main sugi of Arba Kaisis, and it goes through a few scenarios where a person's doing the mitzvah, but it's not quite perfectly. So there are two cases that are described over there as follows. One is Shason Chai, if he drank the wine Chai, raw, meaning he didn't dilute it, right? In the times of Chazal, the wine needed to be diluted. It was a strong, syrupy kind of a substance, and in order to make it potable, when you're ready to use it, you mixed it with water. The general recipe was three parts water to one part wine, and that made it geshmak to drink. So, what if you drank it chai, just straight, which is not geshmak? It's not a pleasant way to drink it. That's one case that the Gemara discusses. And then the Gemara also talks about what about if he's shason bevas achas, if you drink them all together, one after another. You line up four cups of wine and you just drink the first and the second and the third and the fourth. You don't put them by Kiddush and Haggadah and Birkas Hamazon and Halal. So the Gemara says about each of them that you're a little bit good and a little bit bad. How does the Gemara say it? So our girsa in the Gemara is that if you drink it raw, right, or undiluted, yidei yayin yatsa, but yidei chayrus lo yatsa. Which Rashi, the Rashbam, explained that what it means is that you drank wine, but you didn't drink good wine, so you were yaitse, but not a mitzvah min hamuvchar. And the other scenario where it says that you drank in bevas achas, so the lashon of the Gemara is yidei yayin yatsa, yidei arba koises lo yatsa. And over there, the Rashbam says that it means you were yaitse, you weren't really yaitse, the tikkun of Arba Kaisis, but yidei yayin yatsa means that you were yaitse at least simchas yontef. Meaning, let's say it wasn't Pesach, it was Shavuos, it was Sukkot, there'd still be an Indian of drinking one cup of wine. One cup of wine is always good to drink on a yontef. So if you drank them all four together, you were mekayim the Indian of drinking wine, which is simchas yontef, but you weren't mekayim the special Indian of Leil Pesach. So the Gemara is using two different expressions that both convey that you were Mekayim something, but you weren't Mekayim fully. And in both of them it says a Yayin Yatsa, but something else, either Cheiris or Arba Kaisis, La Yatsa. The Rif has a different girsa in the Gemara. In the Rif's girsa, the Gemara is actually much more symmetrical, because in each of the two Gemaras, the Gemara gives the same two categories, the same two boxes that you could check off. And it reverses which one you're yaitz and which one you're not. The two boxes are called Yidei Cheirus and Yidei Arba Kaisis. And it goes as follows. If you drink it chai without diluting it, so Yidei Arba Kaisis Yatsa, Yidei Cheirus La Yatsa. And if you drink them all at one time, one right after the other, then yidei cheirus yatsa, yidei arba kaisis lo yatsa. As if there's two things that you could be yaitz, two things that you're trying to accomplish with your arba kaisis. One is called cheirus, and one is called arba kaisis. And if you drink it with bad wine that's hard to drink, you're mekayim the one called arba kaisis, but not the one called cheirus. And if you drink it without the brachos, right, b'zeh achar zeh, b'vas achas, so then you're mekayim the inyan called cheiros, but you're not mekayim the inyan called arba kaisais. So what are these two inyanim? They're like two dinim. You know, the briskers are famous for their two dinim. But here, the Gemara itself, according to the Rif's girsa, not the Rif and the Rambam, have this girsa. Our girsa, like I said first, was different. Our girsa was a little more, you know, was less organized. You know, for each one, it had a different combination of things that you are Yetzi, that you're not Yetzi. But in the Rif's girsa, which the Rambam also brings down, the Gemara uses the same two descriptions, and it says in one case you're Yetzi A but not B, and in the second case you're Yetzi B but not A, and these two things are called Yedei Cheirus and Yedei Arba Kaisais. So this is like a classic Tzvei Dinim. There are two dinim in the Takana of Arba Kaisais. One is called Yedei Cheirus, and one is called Yedei Arba Kaisais. So what do these mean? So the Risker Rav says, this is the Chakir that we were talking about before. This is it a mitzvah shtia, or is it a din kaishal bracha? And what I see in this Rambam is that he held as both. That whereas Tosfos held that is specifically a din of kaishal bracha. That's all it is. Arba kaisis is just kaishal bracha. There's four kaisis shal bracha, but the whole inyan of arba kaisis is kaishal bracha. The Rambam holds that there's two dinim, almost like two separate takanais that Chazal made. One takana is that all of your brachas, Pesach night, should be done with a kais. Kiddush ala kais, Haggadah ala kais, Berakas Mazon ala kais, and Hal ala kais. That's what we call Yedei Arba Kaisais, the inyan of the four brachas all being a bracha ala kais. And then there's a separate inyan, right? That's the one that Tosfos also holds up. But the Rambam holds up a separate inyan called Yedei Cheirus, and that's the mitzvah shtia. The Lashon of the Rambam is that everybody, Echanashim, are Chayavim Lishteis Arba Kaisteis on this night. There's a mitzvah to drink, like this, like by Matzah, there's a mitzvah to eat. Leil Pesach, there's a mitzvah to drink four cups of wine. So you have both dinim, and that's why the Gemara says that if you drink it raw, right, raw, again, meaning undiluted, that's not Derech Eretz. There's nothing elegant about that. That's hard to drink. Nobody enjoys that. So you're not mekayim that inyan at all. The inyan of drinking arba kaisis to show that we're b'nei chayrin, you're not mekayim that. But you could still call it that you say your brachis ala kais. It's good enough for kiddush kol yemei hashana. It's not lachatchila, but it's b'diavad. It's good enough for kiddush or havdalah kol yemei hashana. So the Gemara says yidei arba kaisis yatsa yidei cheres la yatsa, meaning you mekayim the inyan of kais shal bracha, but not the inyan of the mitzvah shtia. If you're shasan b'vas achas, so then you had four geshmaka cups of wine. They're very good. So you're mekayim the inyan of the mitzvah shti. You drank four cups of wine, derech eres. But the inyan of kaishal bracha, you weren't mekayim at all if you drank them all at one time. So you said all of your brachas, your haggadah and your brikas amazon without a kais. So you're not mekayim those. So that's why, in that case, the day cheres yatsa, the gemara is the day arba kaisis as well yatsa. So these are the two dinim, the two halves of the takana of arba kaisis.
Excuse me, just according to the Rambam, that it's, you know, the wine, if it's not quality wine, so how does he make a bracha for a pre guffin?
It's still
it's
wine.
Good enough. Still wine. It's good enough for
it's
that.
It's
right.
Good enough for that.
Really?
Right.
And he can't be yoytza, the chiyot?
Right, it's not
the
derech cheres. Right.
Okay.
You're right. So that's a chiddush, right? That the different ged there for bari priya gafen than there is for qualifying as derech cheres. Nowadays, presumably, we wouldn't have any such distinction.
Sure.
So then he follows through. He says, you know, we said before that Tosfos equated the shear of Mulag Lugmav, thank you, with Reif HaKais. But the Rambam does not. The Rambam in Hilchas Shabbos, he says, the shear of how much you have to drink is a Mulag Lugmav. And in Hilchas Pesach, Hilchas Chametz Matzah, he says you have to drink Reif HaKais. He brings down two different shiurim because they're different things. Since it's a mitzvah shtia, so that means you drink the cup. Rube kakule. So Reif is like drinking the cup, but you have to really drink the cup. So that's Reif HaKais. Only on the Shabbos, where it's not a mitzvah shtia, it's just a Hamavarech Tzarech Shiyitim. So then it's enough to drink a Molay Lugmav. So the Machlokes Rambam and Tosfos, according to Tosfos, There's just one din that they bring from their father, Reb Chaim, that according to Tosfos, there's just one din in the Arba Kaiseis, and that's the din of Kaisel Bracha, that all four Kaiseis should be a Kaisel Bracha. And according to the Rambam, there's two dinim. There's two dinim. One is the inyan of Kaisel Bracha. The other din is the inyan of Mitzvah Shtiyah. Right, Derech Eres. Okay, so now, Rav Herschel Schachter, when he said this over in the shir, he said that this whole shtickle was said at a time that there was a scarcity of wine, and they were trying to decide what to do. And the shaila that arose was as follows. There definitely wasn't enough wine for everybody to bring home plenty for their family and have enough wine to go around that everybody at the table is going to have arba kaseis. So even though the Rambam says, and the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that all the Bnei Bayis are supposed to have their own arba kaseis, but there wasn't enough wine for that. So we weren't going to be able to do that. What were we going to do? We were going to have one set of arba kaseis for each family, which Tosfos says is good enough, even though Tosfos says they're not so sure, but Tosfos leans in that direction. And look, there wasn't enough. So, you know, you can do the best you can. So each family in Chaslovich that year was, I don't know how widespread this was. I assume it wasn't just localized to Chaslovich, probably in the whole Russia. But this is where the Shaila was discussed. Each family was going to have arba kaseis. So the Baal Bayis was going to drink and everybody else was not. That wasn't the Shaila. That circumstance is dictated, that there was just going to be one for the whole family and they're going to rely on Tosfos that holds that that's good enough. The Shaila was, some clever people in town came and said, but, you know, the Ramah in Hilchos Pesach, in Taf Pei Gimel, it's not a well-known Ramah, which and it shouldn't be because, you know, if we don't have that scarcity nowadays, there's enough wine to go around, so nobody will rely on this, but the Ramah says that B'Shas HaTzchak, you could use chamar medina for arba kaseis. Chamar medina means if there's a beverage that locally has a chashivas, it's used in a way that's similar to wine, so then that could replace wine. Now, of course, there's always a whole big discussion, a complicated discussion of what qualifies chamar medina. The most typical solutions would be beer or schnapps. Yeah. Of course, that's not negeya on Pesach. Right, so obviously you're not using chametz, but okay, coffee, tea, some place can hold, right? Juice, some place can hold, milk, some place can hold. So these are all debatable, but let's leave that aside. We'll just speak theoretically. There's a category called chamar medina. Suppose we could come to some agreement that let's say that a cup of tea is considered chamar medina. So the Ramah says that you could use that for arba kaseis. Some people had argued that here we don't have enough wine to go around, but there's no shortage of tea. So let everybody else at the table drink tea. Four cups. People kind of their arba kaseis with the tea. Now, the truth is that if you looking at the shtickle as it's printed in the sefer, so in the at the end of the piece, he comes to this, you don't get the whole picture. But it says in that last paragraph, it brings down this Ramah, and it just says that which the Ramah says, that B'Shas HaTzchak, you could be Mekayim Arba Kaseis with tea, he says, according to the Rambam, of course, you wouldn't be fulfilling the inyan of Derech Eres, what we call the Mitzvah Shtiyah. Like the Gemara says, you're not making that with undiluted wine. So the Chamar Medina is not going to be better than the undiluted wine. For that, you need wine. In fact, the Rambam even says, it's interesting, I'll mention as an aside, the Rambam writes that a person is supposed to make it a shtia areva. There's an inyan that the wine should be a wine that you enjoy. And that's part of this inyan of derech eres, that's mitzvah shtia, you know, to show derech eres, that's something that you like. So that's why undiluted wine doesn't work. So chamar medina is also not going to work. Chamar medina is not derech eres. It's not makayim the mitzvah shtia. That which the Ramah says that b'shas hachak use chamar medina is because it's makayim the other inyan, the inyan of kaisel bracha for kiddush b'shas hachak. Havdalah b'shas hachak. Sometimes we use beer. So Kiddush Avdol B'Shas Adchak, there's an Indian of Chamar Medina. So the Kaishal Bracha aspect of the Arba Kaisis, you can be Mekayim with Chamar Medina. That's what it says in the Brisker of Sefer. That which the Ramah says Chamar Medina is to be Mekayim the Indian of Kaishal Bracha, that aspect, but it's not Mekayim the Mitzvah Shia aspect. But what Rav Herschel Schachter said over is that in the context of the discussion, what they were saying was as follows. Every household is going to have one set of Arba Kaisis. The B'nai Bayis don't have their own Arba Kaisis. So people came and said, oh, but let the B'nai Bayis have Chamar Medina, let's say a cup of tea, so that because the Ramah says, B'Shas Al-Chak, that works. So the Brisker Rav said that there's no that's pointless. You're not going to gain anything by giving them Chamar Medina. Even though true, the Ramah says that you can be Mekayim, B'Shas Al-Chak, you can be Yaitzei Arba Kaisis with Chamar Medina. Why? Because one of the two inyanim is Kaishal Bracha, and Chamar Medina will help you satisfy the requirements of Kaishal Bracha. But that aspect, you were Mekayim already. Because here in Chaslovich, every household is going to have one set of Arba Kaisis. The Baal Bayis has the Arba Kaisis, and if the whole inyan of Arba Kaisis is Kaishal Bracha, you just need one set for the household. Why do we want everyone else to have their own cup? Only because there's a second inyan in Arba Kaisis, and that's the inyan of Derech Eiros, Mitzvah Shtiya. That inyan you're not going to be Mekayim by having the Chamar Medina. So giving the other B'nai Bayis, the Chamar Medina, is not going to add anything. Even though the Ramah said you could be Yaitzei Arba Kaisis with the Chamar Medina, that's if the whole household just has Chamar Medina, that's better than nothing. But a household that already has one set of Arba Kaisis doesn't get any added benefit by adding for the B'nai Bayis a Chamar Medina. That was the Chap. That was the punchline of this Shuva, which is not printed in the Sefer. It's a very Geshmak HaHitzofa that you have there in the Nefesh HaRav that Rav Shachter says over b'shem his Rebbe Rav Yashaber that the punchline of this whole shtickel was to say that when you have this scarcity and every household already has one set of Arba Kaisis, there's no inyan in adding a Chamar Medina for the other B'nai Bayis.
What about according to Taisvus?
According to Taisvis, there's an inyan of Kaishal Bracha. What? Right. But according to Taisvis, there's no reason for the B'nai Bayis to have anything. Meaning the B'nai Bayis are Yaitse with the Bala Bayis. The only reason why we want to add to the B'nai Bayis is because of the other inyan, and the other inyan is not Mekayim with the Chamar Medina. Now, I remember there was another detail that Rav Shechter mentioned when he said this shiur, when I looked it up in the Nefesh HaRav, this is not printed in the Nefesh HaRav, but I remember he added that, he said, another thing that's interesting is that everybody knows this shtickle as a Brisker Rav. Like I said before, certainly in some circles, it's probably the most well-known shtickle from the Brisker Rav. It's in the Sefer Chidushim Aran Riz HaLevi Al HaRambam. That's the Brisker Rav Sefer. He said, but you know, it's not, and I don't know if he was saying this on his own, or this also here from Rav Shaber, but he said it's probably not really the Brisker Rav, because, you know, if it was when the Brisker Rav went to Chaslovich, to his brother, and his brother was, so the two of them were working on it together, and his brother was much older, so they were learning together, but Mestam was mainly his Shtickle Taira. But it's in the Brisker Rav Sefer. But it was probably Rav Moshe, his older brother, Rav Moshe, that's Rav Yashaber's father. It was probably Rav Moshe's Shtickel Torah mainly because he probably, you know, had the leading role in their limud together. So that Rav Shechter, you know, mentioned that sort of, you know, with a geschmack that this Shtickel, the most famous Brisker Rav in Sefer, maybe it's not really from the Brisker Rav. It's really from Rav Moshe. You know, it's. I heard elsewhere independently that the Brisker Rav, the Rav had tremendous derech eretz for his older brother, Ad Kidei Kach, that he was makban not to call him by his name. Es l'rabbi t'chicha hagadol, just like you don't call a father by a name, the Brisker Rav was makban not to call his brother, whether Bafonov or Shalei Bafonov, he was makban not to call him by his name. I don't know what he called him, Bruder, I don't know. But he was naig covered in derech eretz towards his older brother. So Rav Shechter was saying over how you know that over here probably Rav Moshe played the leading role in this limud. Now, okay, not that it really matters, but I was just wondering about this when I was thinking about it now. You know, I was wondering, was it like there was an 8-year age gap between them? So if this had happened when, you know, let's say when the Riskarov was 10, so then that would certainly be a very strong argument if he was 10 and he was 18. But, you know, again, Rav Schechter writes that it happened in Chaslovich. I was looking, so I was doing some, looking around a little bit this morning, in the biography, in Rav Meller's biography on the Briskarov, where he has a chapter talking about the other siblings, he talks a little bit about the Rav Moshe. It says over there that he was the Rav in Chaslovich between Tavresh Ayin Beis and Tavresh Pei Beis, right? That's 1912 to 1922. That's why I said before that it makes sense that this might have been during the war, World War I. But be that as may, in 1912, the Briskarov was already 25 years old. He's 25 years old. He wasn't a kid. He was 25. His brother was 33. Lav dafka that his brother, because he was older, was taking the leading role in the discussion. The truth is, and a little bit more than that, there's a sefer, a very fascinating sefer book called Ahalei Shem, which was kind of like a phone book for Rabbanim. This was somebody, a Yid named Shmuel Lifshitz, was the name of the guy that put it together. He wanted to foster communication between Rabbanim, make it easier for people that should know the Rabbanim and should be able to communicate with the Rabbanim. And he put together a 500-page volume collecting the names and addresses, not phone numbers. There were no phone numbers. None of the Rabbanim had phone numbers, except maybe in England. But the names and addresses of all of the Rabbanim that he writes in the Sharblat, in Eastern Europe, Western Europe, America, Asia, Africa, the Australia. That's what it says. He was collecting that. It says that, yes, in his, in the early 1900s.
Wow.
What? There were
Jews in Australia.
I'm sure there weren't many, but he was thorough and he collected their names and their addresses and a paragraph, usually a short paragraph, 2-3 lines, a little bit telling about who each one was. And he has, when he comes to the city of Brisk, so he says that the Rav of Brisk is Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, and over there he was marach a little bit. He wanted to go a little bit further than just, the one paragraph of who he is. He was marach a little bit. And Unruh writes, I have, this is a photocopy, by the way, of a page from the Sefer Ahalei Shem. You could see, Brisk. It says, Rav Chaim ben Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik. And down here, it has it written in, I think in maybe Russian or Polish. Is it Russian?
No, Russian or Ukrainian.
Russian, and then afterwards in English letters with, I guess this is their address. This is just which?
I don't know.
It's not, Grodny, it doesn't look like a Grodny, full address. Grodny, yeah. Meaning Brisk in the Grodno district. Anyway, so it says over here, this is about Reb Chaim. And then, he says, I'm not talking much about him because he's a good friend of mine and he told me that I better not. So, so I'm not talking about him. Then he says, in Tefresh Mem, he became a Ram in Volozhin. 12 years later, Volozhin closed down. That's when his father was Nifter, and then he was called to Brisk to take over for his father's place as the Rav of Brisk. And then, third paragraph is as follows. Ubarach Hashem, kishu shilti d'daba ho'ilachas v'nem shachas. Baruch Hashem, that the golden chain continues. Kibonov shel ha'goin ha'kabir hazeh hima gamkim g'day li'Yisrael. The children of this great goin are also g'day li'Yisrael. B'noi ha'rishon Rabbi Yisrael sheyichye hu muflug v'yirei shemayim. Shayif v'ayol, shayif v'nafik v'inim machlik tivusul l'nafshay. So his oldest son, Rabbi Yisrael, his name is Yisrael Gershon, is a great Yirei Shemayim and a very humble person. B'nai Hasheni Reb Moshe Sheyichya, Kvarneida umafursam lagoin mitsuyin becharifus ubekiyus is already famous as an outstanding goin. Charifus ubekiyus.
Sharpness.
Yeah. All right. When sharpening is thinking. Umuchter b'chol ma'ilos umides teves shemanu chazal. Very, very, you know, strong praise for Moshe Soloveitchik. V'hashlishi hachi nechbad. And the third and most chashuv, maybe it's like Zev Shlita, that's from Velvel. Rach bashanim v'av b'teir v'yira. Asher reichav liboy v'sichlei hakabir b'nasei ha'amuka u'mishnasei ha'sidura y'idun alav. His the broadness of his understanding and the greatness of his intellect and his, the depth of his understanding and the organization of his learning, Yehidin Allah will testify about him, that it won't be long before he'll be one of the great Gedele Teira that will be the pillars of all of Klai Yisrael. And then he goes on to say, and Reb Chaim also has a son-in-law of Tzvi Hirsch Gluckson. Okay, so this was published in 1912, actually when the Risk Rav was 25, which was, we said, the earliest year in which this story could have happened, because that was the same year that Reb Moshe became the Rav of Chaslovich. And this observer, I guess it's just his opinion, but if we assume for argument's sake that this is the way it was perceived in the Welt, Velvel was the shining star in the family. That's what it seems like, at least from this. And what's an interesting added detail is that there's a haskama on this sefer from Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim, like he says, he's a friend of his. The sefer has a haskama from Reb Chaim as well as from Reb Chaim Isaac Grzesinski. So it does seem that, again, at least, you know, at that point when Reb Velvel was 25, he was a younger brother, but he wasn't necessarily in the role of the tag-along younger brother. So I don't know if there's any basis to suppose that if it's printed in his sefer, it isn't really his shtickle. There's an interesting postscript to this. How do I know this piece? So this is really a confession. It's from, I don't think this should be considered Lashon Hara on anybody. I mean, what it says over here about Reb Moshe is very beautiful, and it says that Reb Velvel was bigger. But there's a little bit of a dirty chapter of history, which is the story behind how this came to light. There's a sefer which is, I think, very hard to find now. In fact, I think it's been pulled off of a lot of shelves, and it's not on Otzar HaChachma. I tried to find it on Otzar HaChachma. I remember seeing it once, 25 years ago. But on Otzar HaChachma, I was looking for it now on Otzar HaChachma, and it's not there, which has to be deliberate. And that's Shiuri Reb Chaim on Bava Kamma. Now, Reb Chaim never published any shiurim of his. Reb Chaim prepared certain shtikuch Torah for publication, which his children printed. That's Reb Chaim Sefer al Rambam. And in the 1990s, somebody printed shiur Reb Chaim on, I think, first on Bava Metzia and then on Bava Kamma, maybe the other way around. This person, I'll leave out his name. This person said that he got a hold of this manuscript, these Ashiurim that Reb Chaim said in his early days when he was a Raman Volozhin. Like we just read, he was for 12 years he was a Raman Volozhin, and these Ashiurim from those days. And Baruch Hashem, I got a hold of it, and I'm hereby publishing it. The family of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, right? Meaning the American branch of the family, even though these people were in Eretz Yisrael, right? Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who came to America in 1930, and his son, Rav Yoshe Ber, the two of them both were the Rosh Yeshiva in YU. That branch of the family, they responded to this sefer by saying, got a hold of it, yeah, like by picking locks. He stole it. The Ksav Yad belonged to the Rav Moshe Soloveitchik branch of the family. And he stole the Ksav Yad. And not only that, he stole it and he corrupted it. And the way that he printed it was not accurate. And he took the pieces and then tried to make them better by learning them up on his own and trying to say them over in his own words and adding paragraphs sometimes to help explain things, which usually made it worse. And it never should have been published in the first place. We had the Ksav Yad, but we weren't publishing it because, Reb Chaim didn't want to publish. This was from his early days, and this wasn't what he considered his Mishnah Achreina. So it was never supposed to be published. And this person stole it and corrupted it. After that happened, they said, look, since it's already out, so it might as well be out authentically. So this is Rav Moshe Meiselman and Rav Yitzchak Lichtenstein. Sorry, not Rav Yitzchak Lichtenstein. Rav Moshe Lichtenstein. The two of that, right, that was Rosh Yeshiva and Gush Etzion, Rav Moshe Lichtenstein?
Rav Aaron.
I'm sorry, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, yes.
Rav Moshe's son.
Okay, no, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein and Moshe Meiselman, the two of them put out an authentic version of the Sefer. And to set the record straight, that if it's already out, so let it be out, correctly and authentically. Now, this person I don't know if he has his own version of the story, but at least according to the way that they present it, he stole it, he corrupted it. And that's why I said the Sefer, I think, is, I don't know if it was ever formally banned, but you really can't, I don't think it's been reprinted, and it's not available online. But to add insult to injury, after he took this Sefer, which was in the Rav Moshe Soloveitchik branch of the family, and he stole it, and he put it out, he added a Hakdama to the Sefer. And the whole Hakdama was on the theme of, I shouldn't say the whole Hakdama. It was talking about Reb Chaim and his family, but a significant part of what he came to emphasize in that Hakdama was that so everyone should know that Reb Velvel was really the more chashuv son of Reb Chaim. In this Sefer that he stole from the Rav Moshe Soloveitchik branch of the family, he came to knock, and B'Seich HaDvarim, I remember seeing this back in the 1990s, and he wrote over there that one time, I don't remember if it says who, I think he mentions who, but I don't remember if he says it was Rav Yosher Ber or somebody else that came to Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and was talking about this shaila of, who was bigger between the sons of Rav Chaim, and that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky showed him that he had at home this Ahal Leishem that he had brought with him from Europe. And he showed him this piece in the Ahal Leishem. Now, this Sefer of the Shiuri Reb Chaim on Bava Metzia that was put out by the Robert, you can't get anymore. But the Sefer Ahal Leishem, is available online. That's what I printed this out from. So that's why I feel a little bit guilty because I became aware of this through this other thing, which I think was an inappropriate thing to publish. Again, in that context, in that setting, was an inappropriate thing to write. But it's an interesting idea, I think, historically, that Rav Velvel, there's no reason to suppose that if Rav Velvel was sitting and learning with his brother, even though his brother was 8 years older, that means that his brother really was doing the lion's share of the thinking. Be that as it may, the aside is that there's two dinim in the Arba Kaisais. There's there's the mitzvah shtia and there's the inyan of keshal bracha. So I'm going to end with the following invention somebody came up with. Somebody that has trouble with drinking wine on Pesach, it makes him too sleepy. Now, there are eitzes, you could use grape, almost all Pesachim say that you could be eitzes with grape juice, but I say almost all, not all. So there are Pesachim, it's a discussion for a different time. There's really two different ideas that would lead one to a conclusion that you can't use grape juice fabricates. So all things being equal, it may be better not to. Most Pesachim say it's fine, but let's suppose somebody is, he doesn't want to be samech on that. He doesn't want to use grape juice for to be a Arba Kaisais, but he can't drink 4 cups of wine and never make it to the end of the Seder. So the idea that I heard somebody say was as follows. Make Kiddush on grape juice. Say your Haggadah, right? Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael, Baruch Pi HaGafen, and drink your grape juice. Say Birkas HaMazon on grape juice. And then by the fourth kais, say Hallel, and say it on a cup of wine. And then drink three more cups of wine. Now, drink three cups of wine, bevas achas. The Gemara says, you're not yotze. No. It only says, yidei arba kais is lo yotze, but yidei yayin yotze. Now, if you drink it, shasan chayel, the grape juice, worst case scenario, you'll tell me, right? It's not worse than chamar medin. It's not worse than undiluted. It's just not, it's not wine. It's not the chashivas of wine. So that would be like shasan chay. So if you used grape juice for the first three kaisais, so the worst that you can, even if you want to be machpid on the chumra de kashit, is that grape juice is no good, it would mean yidei chayris lo yatza, but yidei arba kaisais yatza, meaning the Indian of kaisal bracha, you can be mekayim, just not mekayim, the Indian of shtias arba kaisais. So by using grape juice for the first three, you're mekayim the Indian of kaisal bracha, and then piling on four cups of wine at the end, you're mekayim the Indian of shtias arba kaisais. If, like the Risk Rav says, it's really two dinim, and you can mekayim one without the other, so with this idea, you could split them up and then end up doing all of them, and then go to sleep.
And then go straight to sleep.
You want me to say